Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to the World Cricket Show with me, Adam Bayfield, and Tony Kerr.
Good evening.
Broadcasting to you once again from St. Lucia, where we've been watching the Test match. We're out on the deck tonight, Tone. Previously, we were recording poolside, but the last time we did this, we got rained on, so we've moved kind of undercover, but still outside on the deck. It's quite a late one, late night pod.
Latest one yet, I think, yeah. But no less beautiful.
Mm. We've had a good day today. We went to see the Pitons down in the south of St. Lucia. Quite a long drive. Almost ran out of petrol on the way back, which would have been quite interesting.
Yeah, it's extremely... Undulating would be an understatement, wouldn't it? Yeah, the sort of drive down is very up and down. Will we get any mobile phone reception if we do run out of petrol just to call anyone? And B, who's going to be the one running up to the top of the hill or whatever hill we break down on to get that mobile phone reception. So, yeah.
You're worried that one of us was going to have to climb to the top of one of the pitons to get mobile phone reception. But yeah, we just about made it to a petrol station on fumes. And yeah, beautiful down there, isn't it? The pitons, pretty amazing. I mean, you know, you see it in the tourist brochures and that, don't you? But actually seeing them in the flesh, so to speak.
It's an incredible backdrop, isn't it? Yeah. It's an incredible thing, but as a backdrop to anything else you're doing, it's pretty incredible.
Yes, it's a backdrop to lunch. Yeah. As a backdrop to a roti. Doesn't get much better.
Yeah, and the town that's around there, like, yeah, it's obviously a town of people that are doing their own bits and pieces. But yeah, to live in the shadow of that is fairly spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
So we've had a great day and we've had a great week.
Better day than yesterday.
Here in St. Lucia at the cricket. Why did you say a better day than yesterday, Tim?
Well, as you know.
As I know.
But other people might not at this point. I was struck down with a fairly dramatic case of what might be an allergic reaction to something or food poisoning, but one or the other, it was an eventful night. Let's just leave it at that. Yeah.
Please, can we leave it at that? So yeah, hence why we didn't record a podcast yesterday. But yeah, aside from that, we've had a good week here in St. Lucia and we've had a good week at the cricket. So we're just going to have a little chat now just to round off the test match, draw a line under the series with the definitive verdict, what might be described as the capital V verdict on the series.
All caps, I think. The verdict, all caps.
The verdict. So the test ended, of course, in a big win for England by 232 runs after they declared on the fourth morning. They didn't bat for very long on the fourth morning, on 361 for five. Joe Root finishing up on 122. And then West Indies were in enormous trouble at 10 for three and then 76 for five. But they made a fist of it, battled hard throughout the day, largely thanks to Roston Chase, who ended up getting to 100, an unbeaten 102. Some pretty extraordinary scenes at the end as Kemo Poole came out to bat injured to ensure that Roston Chase could get to his century. But there, you know, the result was inevitable. It was never going to be anything other than an England win, and they did win it on the fourth day, as I say, by that big margin. It's just a consolation win. They did lose the series 2-1. This was a dead rubber. But that being said, positive signs for England, or... How do you feel about it, Tone? How do you assess England's performance in this game and the series as a whole?
But yeah, positive finish to the series, obviously, literally. But, you know, one thing we've kind of, a lot of people have been chatting about, and we've sort of, I don't know whether we've been critical of England for or just noted, is that they do have this propensity in the last couple of years to be beaten heavily and then win heavily the next week, or, you know, there's been, you don't never really know where you are with England at the moment.
Erratic.
So whether it's like a good sign that they've won the last test, which it is, but whether that's just, you know, a bit of more of the same, I don't know. But yeah, it's tough to be too critical after a win. But, you know, but overall the series, yeah, it's obviously been, you know, pretty disappointing. that many good performances to shout about for West Indies. They'd won the series, you know, their captain was banned. So, you know, for them, it probably was a little bit flatter.
Bit after the Lord Mayor's show.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think that's probably especially true once things started to go wrong.
Like, yeah.
I think West Indies actually played pretty well on day one and the start of day two. I think they bowled well in England's first innings. But once they had that collapse, you know, that Mark Wood-induced collapse, it's probably hard. I mean, you know, they're obviously international professional sportsmen and this is literally their job. But having won the series, having achieved what they set out to achieve, you know, maybe they just lost a little bit of motivation to kind of really dig in and turn it around because it was a dead game.
And certainly England, you know, on the flip side, looked bang up for it. And, you know, the way they celebrated sort of various aspects of the Test match and personal achievements, you know, within it, you know, suggested it meant a lot to them, as it rightly should. And, you know, I'm going to steal a good point that you made off mic, but haven't yet made on the pod.
Okay.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time, but just in terms of Test cricket and its allure, this match, despite it being a dead rubber, seemed to really capture, both captured the interest of the players involved, certainly from an England perspective, ourselves, the people of the ground, and, you know, back at home in the sort of wider cricket audience, you know, the Mark Wood spell in that first innings, you know, really got people excited. And, yeah, would that happen in any other format? Who knows? But, yeah, as an event in itself, that third test was really good.
Well, yeah, and I think the good point that I was making, was along those lines. But what I was really trying to say is that, to me,
if I've not made your good point,
I think you've kind of crabbed around it, okay, but not quite landed it. But I think to me it just shows that it's actually quite a simple equation in Test cricket. If you get the pitches right, if you get good pitches with plenty of interest for the bowler, like, not necessarily, you know, it doesn't have to be like the pitch in Antigua where it's almost impossible to bat on, or you know, it doesn't have to be that teams are going to fall in a heap for 120, but where it's a genuine contest between bat and ball and you get scores around 250, when the pitches are good, Test cricket will thrive. You know, as you say, this was a dead game, yet there's been a huge amount of interest in it, and this series as a whole has, we've had three really spicy, really good pitches, and that's almost all you need, I think. Like, everything else around day-night tests and, you know, all the other things that we talk about, and they're all important too in terms of generating interest. But I just think you get the pitches right. You contrast this with the series in the Caribbean 4 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, on dead surfaces. Like, it's just been so much better. It's almost that simple for me. Although, that being said, I mean, you know, I think it has been a fantastic series. It's been a really fun series. But then at the same time, all three games have ended in enormous thumpings for one team or the other. And this is, again, something we talk about a lot, but that does seem to be happening very frequently in Test cricket, particularly when England are involved. And although this has been a really entertaining series, we haven't actually seen a thriller, have we? But it's just in this particular case, I think, although it's been very one-sided, there's been really good cricket along the way, like really entertaining cricket, memorable moments, like fast bowling, good fast bowling, and things to get excited about. It just actually hasn't gone down to the wire or even close on any occasion.
Yeah, and I always mean to crunch the numbers on this.
The cough's back. You haven't coughed for 2 days.
No, that's the pressure. I keep meaning to crunch the numbers. No one's provided us with numbers on, like, you know. A, we need to define what is a close and exciting Test match finish.
We need an intern, really, don't we?
We do. But B, what are the numbers? How's it changed? What should we expect? What are we within our rights to expect? I've said this before, but you know, you can't have a sort of a last session finish to every Test match where there's like one or two wickets in it or a few runs. But yeah, these matches have all been, you know, pretty one-sided/very one-sided.
Yes, and it's ended up with two very one-sided for West Indies to one very one-sided for England. And it's kind of, in some ways, it's difficult to make sense of it. I mean, one thing to say is that it, you know, actually, if you look at the recent history more generally or in a slightly more long-term way, these are two very evenly matched teams. Whereas the last eight tests between England and West Indies, it's 4-4, which, you know, does suggest that
we got our prediction wrong.
that we were perhaps a bit too hasty in writing West Indies off at the beginning. But yeah, no, it suggests that they always produce good cricket in recent years, and you know, relatively even contests in the bigger picture, if not in terms of the individual matches. In terms of England's performance, I just worry now. Like this was, as you say, this was great. It's better. I'm glad they produced this performance. I'll say that initially. It's obviously better to win a dead rubber than lose a dead rubber. It's A, just frustrating that they've produced it two tests too late. And B, I just worry now that they're going to take this as evidence that actually everything's fine and see the first two tests as the aberration. And I've bored on a lot about how I think England are deluded, but you could already hear in the interviews that Root and Bayliss gave after the game that they are kind of writing this off. I mean, Root literally said, well, you know, we won 4 out of 6 tests this winter. And, you know, I think this kind of shows the cricket that we're capable of. And obviously, to some extent, he's going to think that and he's entitled to think that. And it is true that they won 4 out of 6 tests this winter. But, like, this is why England are deluded, because they do produce a performance like this out of nowhere. But actually, it did, like, it still didn't resolve or even hint towards a future resolution of the big problems in the team, i.e. the top order. You know, again, no runs from the top order. Root scored a century, which is great. And Wood coming in and bowling fast, I suppose, is a new positive thing. But no runs from the top three. Still questions about the balance of the side. You know, I just don't think this performance really changes anything. And I just worry now that they're going to, that it will allow them to write off what happened before in this series. And so in some ways, this is, might be the worst thing that could happen to England. As I've said before, the losing in the West Indies probably doesn't mean anything in terms of whether they're going to win the Ashes this summer, but it probably does mean something in terms of whether they're going to win other series away from home. And, you know, if they now just kind of, if this licenses them to ignore it and not make any changes, I don't know. I just think this could be this. Yeah, the delusion could grow.
No, you're right. And, you know, lots of people have spoken about this whole thing about, you know, looking towards the Ashes and we shouldn't just write everything off. But we really shouldn't. And, you know, in 2005, that the West Indies tour that preceded that was seen as like a big marker and, you know, a sign of certainly the performances in that tour really got people excited and were, you know, a real promising sign of things to come. So almost as much as that was a positive, you actually look at this and think, well, actually, there aren't that many positive individual performances to take from it. And looking ahead to the Ashes, you think if Australia weren't as kind of slightly lost as they are, well, I mean, in some respects, had they not had the sandpaper stuff and all that, the rest of it, you'd be pretty worried at this point as an England fan. As it is, you're like, well, maybe we'll get ourselves out of the hole just by virtue of being at home and with Jimmy and Broady, you know, piling in.
And Australia not being that great.
And Australia not being at the, yeah, exactly, not being at the peak of their powers. So,
yeah. I mean, I suppose the return of Wood coming in and bowling that fast, that is something, as I say, and it was amazing. And it's, you know, we've not seen an England bowler bowl that fast for a very long time. London correspondent Gordon McRae was digging out the stats, wasn't he? And I believe it's the third fastest average speed that an England bowler has produced in a spell this century, after Harmison in 2008 and Ajmal Shahzad, of all people,
right,
in 2010, I think. But you know, either way, it's been a long time since anyone's bowled that fast, and that is exciting. But then already in the second innings, he perhaps wasn't as quick and wasn't as effective. And we are, you know, we do worry a bit about whether he can stay fit. So maybe he can, but let's just, you know, let's all just keep our powder dry a bit.
Maybe take the pressure off him a bit.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he's such a popular figure and you know, the sort of English cricket sphere, obviously, yeah, overwhelmed by that performance and excited, and quite rightly. But, you know, history would suggest the kind of bowlers who don't play that many tests over the course of a fairly long period won't play that many more tests over the course of the next fairly long period.
Yeah.
Without being too negative, But yeah, you know, hopefully he can have a great summer.
Well, yeah, let's see what happens.
And I mean, have an impact.
He's remodeled his run-up, hasn't he? He's got a longer run-up now. He's been doing a lot of work to try and, you know, give himself the best chance of staying fit. So fingers crossed he will. But let's just wait and see before we get too carried away with the idea of him kind of tearing into the Aussies. We'll see what happens. But, you know, there definitely are positives to take from this game. And as I say, fundamentally, better to win it than not. And I really enjoyed it. And certainly that Wood spell was a really great thing to witness as an England fan. But I'm not sure it really changes the narrative that much of this series. It has ultimately been a very disappointing series for England. And it does speak to some pretty serious issues in the team that aren't going to be solved anytime soon, unfortunately. Systemic problems with producing batsmen, etc. For West Indies, as you say, it was maybe a bit, it was kind of, they didn't have Holder, they'd already won, they perhaps weren't quite at the races in this game, but it was nice to see Rosslyn Chase getting to his 100, and he played really well. He'd had a poor series with the bat up to that point, hadn't done anything at all, and, you know, beginning to question, you know, should this guy be batting at 5 in the West Indies team, but then he turned up and played as well as that, and it's like, oh yeah, he is a very good player.
Well, he leaves the series with a series win, a century and an 8 for, so he's had quite a good couple of weeks.
I think he's only one of only about 5 players ever to have scored a century and taken an 8 for in the same series, along with like Imran Khan and, you know, one or two other kind of legendary names. So yeah, pretty extraordinary series for him. And yeah, he, speaking in the post-match interviews, he just came across like a really good guy as well. So a lot of likeable figures in the West Indies team. So yeah, I mean, what did you think, Tone, in terms of the series as a whole? Did you know, how did you find it? Did you enjoy this one? Did it live up to the billing?
Yeah, 100%. It was a really, well, as you said, you know, there weren't any close finishes, but it was a thoroughly entertaining series. And, you know, on both sides, in the end, something to enjoy, perhaps more so for the West Indies. You know, we spoke about it the other week, but, you know, the performances of the Bajans in Barbados, pretty special. So, all in all, pretty good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One way in which the series is ending on a slightly sour note is the incident with Shannon Gabriel, who has been banned. He was charged by ACC and has been banned for 4 ODIs after seemingly making a homophobic remark on the pitch. We don't know what he actually said, but the stump mic picked up Joe Root saying, don't use it as an insult, there's nothing wrong with being gay. So yeah, he's got a banned tone. I mean, what did you think about all of this? Is that too broad a question? I don't know.
Well, we still don't know what Gabriel said. He'd picked up a few demerit points along the, you know, over the course of the last couple of years, so yeah, hence why the 4-game ban. But, you know, as we've been chatting today, you know, the way Root's handled it and dealt with it at the time and subsequently as well, it has been a sort of cut above, hasn't it? And and actually, you know, who knows what was said, but for Root to have to pick up on it and make that kind of comment, you know, it's unfortunate, isn't it, that kind of language or whatever language was used was being used in that kind of situation. But yeah, for Root to handle it, you know, to basically extinguish it then and then afterwards, you know, not to, I don't know, to maybe, what's the word? Not to, exaggerate might not be the right word, but
fan,
you know,
the flames.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's been handled very well.
Yeah, I actually think, I mean, as you know, Tom, I've been critical on this podcast of the captain at various times, but I think he's handled this whole situation absolutely magnificently, and it genuinely made me proud that he is the England captain. Like, it real leadership, I think. Like, the way that
that's
he just,
genuine leadership as well, isn't it? That's not just like saying, like, you know, bring fine leg up and and whatever. That's like reacting to a situation. That you wouldn't necessarily expect or have come across or whatever. But
yeah, just handling it so well as such a grown up and real leadership and makes me proud as an England fan and makes me think just I want to follow that man. I want to listen when he speaks, and I just the way that he shut it down at the time, but not in a, as you say, he didn't
like swear up to him
just calmly shut it down and put him in his place. But then also afterwards, you know, he was saying, listen, he said completely the wrong thing and he'll regret it, but we all say stuff in the heat of the moment, and he's had a great series, and he's, you know, he's a good guy, and we should draw a line under it there. And he couldn't have handled it any better, to be honest. I mean, in terms of the ban, as you say, it's, you know, there's demerit points from previous incidents as well, but it doesn't seem unreasonable to get some kind of ban for making a comment like that. But I do wonder if it's maybe a little bit easy to just reprimand Shannon Gabriel in this situation or take one player to task for one comment that they've made and think that that's the situation dealt with, because there is a broader issue at play here, which is that obviously we all think that homophobic comments are completely unacceptable in any area of life, not least on the cricket field. But it is different in different parts of the world. And it shouldn't be, but it is. And like in the Caribbean, on a number of Caribbean islands, including this one that we're on at the moment, St. Lucia, homosexuality is actually illegal. It's also illegal in India. You know, there, like, if you think about the fuss that was kicked up, rightly so, about like the Winter Olympics being in Sochi in 2014 because of the way that homosexuality is treated in Russia, there's absolutely none of that in cricket for the IPL or, you know, major tournaments being in India or in the Caribbean. Yeah, there's big cultural issues at play here that I don't know that just handing a ban out to Shannon Gabriel does that much to resolve those wider issues. And could cricket do more to affect some kind of positive change in this area? I mean, perhaps the way that Joe Root has handled this will do something along those lines. But I just worry a bit that people will kind of think, all right, we can wash our hands of this one. Problem solved. There's deeper issues here, and we know that there aren't really many, hardly any openly gay cricketers. Why is that? We've talked about this before. Would an openly gay cricketer have a problem getting an IPL contract, things like that? I mean, it's, there's serious stuff here, and just banning Shannon Gabriel while, you know, the right thing to do is not the end of it, I don't think. Well, anyway, it's a bit of a heavy note to end the podcast on, but an important one. Our time in St. Lucia is almost up, Tone. We're going our separate ways tomorrow. I'm off to Barbados for a few days. It goes from bad to worse, really, doesn't it? And you're going to Beckway,
yeah,
in the Grenadines. But then we're reuniting in Barbados next week to catch a couple of the ODIs before we head home. Have you enjoyed yourself in St. Lucia? Did you enjoy the cricket?
It's been wonderful. Yeah, it's been a wonderful week.
We've talked about it on, you know, on the three previous pods we've done here, but it is just a great experience.
I saw a comment, and in fact, I think it was a reply to a tweet. I think it was TMS tweet about the grass, like the way the grass had been cut at the Darren Sammy Cricket Ground. Mm. It was a mishmash of ideas, but the sort of overriding theme was a sort of dartboard-esque kind of explosion from the middle. I quite liked it. I saw a lot of people who didn't. But someone commented back. I read all the replies to all the tweets in the world. someone said, no, real question is, do any of the Brits in the crowd know anything about cricket, or are they just there for the beer and sunburn?
Right.
Which I thought was a really, like, bizarre...
Sweeping.
Yeah, bizarre kind of comment to make about I would say that most people who travel to watch the cricket,
yeah,
would have been really into cricket.
Yeah, you're probably not going to come all this way.
If you're just going for beer and sunburn, there's a lot of places that you could go to where you don't have to sit and watch cricket.
I wonder if, like, the on the TV, you were mainly seeing those guys who are in the pool, like in the paddling pool, who, as the day went on, were getting there in there. It was quite funny, actually, from where we were sat, they were directly opposite us on the other side of the ground. And it did, like, from our perspective, you couldn't see the water, so it just looked like a kind of pen. Like they just rounded up all the hilarious people in the crowd and just penned them in. But yeah, other than that, like everyone sat around us. It just sort of knowledgeable cricket fans, really. We don't need to go into it again. We talked about it a lot, but it is just a magnificent experience. And I would say to anybody, if you've ever wanted to come to the Caribbean and watch England play cricket, and you're thinking about it for next time, definitely do it. It will not disappoint. Have you enjoyed recording these podcasts as well, Tone?
It's been good, and there'll, I'm sure, be a couple more from Barbados.
Yes.
And the ODIs.
The ODIs next week. We're staying at a villa here, and there's a housekeeper who comes in to potter about. And she apparently said to one of the other people we're staying with, she asked if the two of us are DJs, because she saw our microphones and equipment. And she's like, I saw the equipment. I assumed they were DJs. And I think it was your girlfriend, actually, had to say. No, they talk about cricket on the internet.
I mean, we couldn't be further from DJs, really. I take it as a compliment, though, that she's at least looked at the equipment, looked at us, and been like, oh, they're quite cool guys. Like, yeah, maybe they could get away with it.
This makes sense.
Reality is we're not even cool enough to record a cricket podcast these days.
So I should cancel your Ibiza set next week, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the live show. The Ushuaia live show. You can pull the posters down.
Should we rock up to an Ibiza nightclub and just instead of playing a DJ set, just do a live world cricket show? How do you think that would go down?
Yeah. Be like the world cricket show is now, just with more drugs.
Mm. And booing.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it there, Tone. We'll talk to you again from Barbados next week. But until then, check out our social, where we're posting lots of photos and other bits and bobs from the trip. But yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
Take care.
Cheers, Tone.
Cheers.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.